They run away and they report it to the city. Verse 15. They came to Jesus. This is the come to Jesus moment. That's a great line. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. It's like, you know, emphasis, that guy, that's the guy. And they see him. And they became frightened. The people that come out that hadn't seen the scene, the first thing they see is the guy sitting there, and they become frightened at seeing the guy. There's the guy. We all know him. It's like, that's the guy we chain up. That's the guy that gashes himself. That's the... And they become frightened. They haven't heard about the pigs yet. But they become frightened. Why are they frightened? I think the power of Jesus. Anybody who has this kind of power can affect this kind of change that quickly, can do these kinds of things. That's scary. That's uncontrollable. At least with that guy, when he was in his state of confusion, we could at least chain him up. It didn't work, but we could at least do something. Here's somebody we can't even think about chaining up. See something of the glory of the untamedness of Jesus. Reminded of C.S. Lewis, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and talking about hearing Aslan for the first time. Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are talking to this. And Lucy says, you know, is he quite safe? I'd be scared to meet a lion. Is he quite safe? And Mr. Beaver says, haven't you heard anything Mrs. Beaver told you? Of course he's not safe. He's a lion. He's not safe. But he is good. He is good. That's Jesus. He's not safe. You can't bottle him up. You can't chain him up and say, you're my little Jesus genie. I pull you out when I want to. No, he does things that are magnificent, threatening, awe. And so they're frightened when they see him. Verse 16 and 17, and those who had seen it described them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. Make sure we get that in there. Hey, listen, you need to know. Look down there. In verse 17, they began to implore him to leave their region. As I said, it's a children's sermon, which is not just a children's sermon. That is the sad part. That's the sad part in that moment. It's amazing to me that Jesus comes across, he essentially saves one person in this ministry endeavor. They ask him to leave and he goes. And so, hey, Jesus, how was it? What was the result of your ministry? Yeah, I got one person came. We can ask him to leave. Sometimes for those of you perhaps still considering Christ, you know, he allows you right now, if you're not a Christian, to say no to him. See, there's coming a day when Jesus is going to come back. This is what the confession of the church, we've already confessed it in the Apostles' Creed. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Every knee will bow in this room. Every tongue in this room will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, every tongue. Whether you want to or not. Some of us want to. We look forward to that day. We practice bending our knee all the time. We practice confessing. But Jesus allows people right now to say, no, I implore you, leave me. And he leaves. Don't say that to Jesus. For us as Christians, though, this is a message here for us as well. At times, Jesus is calling us to enter in more fully into his agenda, his kingdom, what he wants to do. And at times we'll say, no, I don't know. You're too scary. You do things I'm not sure about. What if God were to come to us and tell us, as a church, we were praying, and they was praying, and we were hopefully all entering into that prayer for missions and evangelism in our city and around this community. What if God came and said, you know, I'm going to give a massive revival in the Phoenix metropolitan area. It's going to include Goodyear. We're going to see thousands of people come into my church, my kingdom. We're like, yeah! But I need you to know it's going to come because I also ordain that there's a massive economic downturn And every one of your families is going to suffer a 25% reduction in take-home pay. Yeah. What? I'm not saying, God didn't tell me that. Did you hear what he said? No. May God bring them all in, and may he allow us to continue to have our paychecks. But what if? What if the pigs were gone? What if Jesus, because he's not tame and he can do things how he wants to do them, and that's what he wants to do. Would we still say yes, Jesus, to your agenda? Yes, to what you want to do? Yes, I want to enter into it, even though it's scary, even though I don't control you. So the challenge for here is the church as well. We can look at people and wag our heads. Oh my gosh, I can't believe they asked him to leave. We do all the time as Christians. Failing to enter in, you know, pursuing safety and security above Jesus' kingdom agenda. I do that so many times. See people that might need a need, or I could pray for that person, or I could go maybe share Christ with that person. If I make one more move in this conversation, we could be talking about Christ, but I hold back because I'm afraid. We do it all the time. Jesus' response to all this, verse 18, as he was getting into the boat, Jesus is going to leave. The man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. Jesus, let me go. Jesus, let me go with you. I want to be with you. He tells him, and he did not let him go. Verse 19, that's odd. Jesus, why not? Intriguing language here. I want to be with you. That's the same language that was used of the apostles in chapter 3, why Jesus called 12 to be with him. He's asking to sort of be part of the 12. He says, no, I've got my 12. I don't want you to be part of that. So Jesus isn't like dogging on this man saying, no, okay, I'm done with you. You know, I did the thing. He actually gives this man a mission. He tells him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Here's a mission for you. Go home and tell your people what great things the Lord has done, how he had mercy on you. And the man does, sort of. Interesting thing that happens in verse 20. I think we're supposed to see there's a parallelism. Verse 20, and he went away, like Jesus said, and began to proclaim in Decapolis amongst his own people following Jesus what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Jesus speaking says to the man, go home, proclaim what great things the Lord has done. Verse 19, the man goes away and begins to proclaim what great things Jesus has done. Mark wants us to see the parallelism. This man's not disobeying. We're supposed to see something of the implicit deity of Jesus Christ here. Jesus is the Lord. This man gets it right. And so when we talk to people about God, we're always pointing at Jesus. Not some nebulous figure in the sky, but the God who has come and revealed himself in the person of Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the full revelation of who God is. So when we speak to people, I constantly encourage Christians, don't just speak about a generic, do you believe in God? I mean, yeah, Thor. Well, that's dumb. It's a nice movie, but do you believe in Jesus? He's the full revelation of the living God who made everything around us. Speak of Jesus just like this man does. We're going to be faithful to our mission that Jesus gives us. And I think we're supposed to see implicit for us a mission. Mark's first readers would have seen in this challenge to this man their mission. We need to go into our hometown and proclaim the glory and the strength and the mercy. I love what he says, how he had mercy on you. Jesus came and had mercy. So where are we at in the story? Perhaps you're a person right now, yeah, I'm in crisis. I'm not maybe as bad as that guy was, but I'm in crisis. I need healing. I need sustenance. I need salvation. I need being put back together. Jesus is strong and he's merciful. Perhaps you're still investigating these things. What is this Jesus thing about? Don't send him away. Be warned, though. He won't fit into all your categories. He won't make sense completely. He challenges you at every turn. This is a story for adults. He challenges us. But don't turn him away, because he just might go. And perhaps we're ready. You're in a place, I'm ready for the mission. I'm in with Jesus. And he's continuing to re-challenge and re-challenge you to deeper commitment and to a deeper calling of mission and his kingdom agenda, whether it's at work or in your family. I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I'll go. I want to point to Jesus the best I can. Wherever you are in the midst of this story, in the midst of those three things, whether in crisis or investigating or ready to go on the mission, look at Jesus. Keep looking at him. Keep considering his strength, that thousands of demons have to quake and ask his permission to do anything. He's still that strong. Look at his mercy, how he had mercy upon this man. He is still that merciful. He is strong and he is merciful. He's good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for this word. Oh Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit right now to come, and perhaps there's one thought, one phrase even, one piece of this teaching of the text, Lord, that has settled in a person's mind or in all of our minds, Lord, different truths, different pieces of the text, different things you're dealing with, Lord. Father, I ask you right now to just cement that in a person's mind. I pray you'd bring comfort where you need to bring comfort, healing where you need to bring healing. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bring your conviction by your Spirit where you need to bring conviction, to put away sin and to call us into a deeper commitment to you by your grace. Lord, I ask that we would see you more clearly. Spirit of God, I pray that these thoughts in this picture of Jesus not be lost to us this day and this week. Would you, Holy Spirit, I ask for this week, Lord, that you would just recycle over and over again these thoughts, these verses, perhaps a phrase or a word in all of our minds. Keep Jesus in our minds, Holy Spirit. I ask this, O Lord Jesus, that you get the glory. Father, we praise you and thank you. Amen.